Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottie along with Charlie Long. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Let's try it again one more time, Eric. You're in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, I want to get your take on this here. Now, right. I know Josh Williams and John Emery, pretty good ball players, but they're not the home run hitters that LSU needs. So what's the problem with, you know, Caden Drew? He's the 120-meter sprint champion in high school. And you know what Caleb Jackson is capable of, so what's taking so long to get the two guys in the game?
Yeah, I think the one thing with Shelton Sampson that you had asked about was Shelton, man, they stress emphasize in throwing a block downfield. And last year when he got in the game, Brian Kelly said it was 80-20. He would come down with the catch on, there was 50-50 throws. No, it was more like 90-10, and he had the 10. He wasn't making those plays. No, Shelton, one thing sometimes from something bad that happens, you learn something. Other than Zachariah Barnes, look the size of USC's receivers going up against those DBs. Man, Shelton Sampson gives you that size differential downfield. He can really get up in the air to make a catch. And so you would love that, and hopefully you can get the speed of Chris Hilton back.
That was something they were really
from
missing.
From the injury, because they didn't really stretch the field. Now, Kyren's fast once he catches the ball.
Yeah,
now,
but
he's no track sprinter, sort of speak. That's not him. Chris Hilton's on a different level speed-wise.
And he opens up a lot for Kyren as well. It's almost kind of a similar situation like we talked about with Rashid Shaheed and Chris Olave.
Very similar, Charlie.
Yeah, like having right. a guy that can take the top off the defense, you got to pay attention to him. And that's what Chris Hilton has. He has elite speed. So some of the best speed on the team.
Jelani Watkins.
Yes. Yeah, the freshman. But with Shelton Sampson, he's an interesting one, Mike, because he's got the size as far as height goes, right? He's a 6'4". You know, he was super highly recruited out of Catholic Baton Rouge, a former four-star guy.
He could have went anywhere.
Yeah, he really could have. He was four-star, but he was the number 6 ranked receiver in the class of 2023. The thing about him is he's kind of slim, Mike. He's listed at 195. So, you know, you're talking about potentially getting involved in the run blocking game, but what Coach Kelly was saying, you know, the bite that I used for the Sports Flash earlier in his presser today was he needs to get involved in the passing attack. And I think, you know, you hope
that play him then.
Exactly, which you got to give him snaps. And that's what I think Coach Kelly was saying. They got to ramp him up to get him ready starting this upcoming weekend against Nicholls State. And if he's ready to go, get him involved, because that's just another weapon that you can use in the passing attack. And you have Shelton Sampson, a really talented, highly recruited guy, and then you also add Chris Hilton, who was injured and missed that first game, back to the lineup. Yeah, I think LSU's passing attack is just going to be fine. And they were, look, Kyren Lacy was awesome in the first half, we all know, but USC schemed to get him out of the game in the second half. And Coach Kelly kind of made, I don't want to say subtle jabs necessarily at the offensive play calling that they
didn't.
It
wasn't subtle. It was.
Yeah, he basically said.
He threw the jab.
He basically said we should have gotten him the ball more right. in the second half.
And that's something that Bob brought up yesterday about they were playing bracket coverage. But sometimes, you, especially in the red zone, you got to use that big target receiver. Where they can't do a lot of that bracketing, so to speak. Now, they can use the back of the end zone because that's almost like another defender. But I think that, to me, the red zone offense for LSU has got to be better throughout the season. It's got to evolve. It was not good against USC. I'd love to see Shelton Sampson get an opportunity. Yeah. And this is his shot here in the next couple weeks to show you can take over, that you can be that three guy that Kyren was a year ago.
Yeah, exactly, because your 1-2 is now Kyren and Hilton.
Right.
And so you're hoping that he can step into that three role, as you mentioned, Mike. And to your point also, Eric, about, you know, Caleb Jackson, that was a guy that had been hyped up all throughout the offseason, as, you know, dating back to spring ball when we were talking to the guys then. And in fall ball, all the reporters have been telling us the same thing, that Caleb Jackson looked really good. He looked primed for a huge year. But one thing that I will say is that the reporters that we talked to said that he's going to be, you know, probably more utilized closer towards the SEC schedule. But at the same time, like, I think they kind of went with a hot hand. John Emery had a couple good, you know, rushes.
And I get that.
And they decided to give him the most carries on the team, more than Josh Williams and Caleb Jackson. But Caleb Jackson finishing with 6 carries for 18 yards. Like, he had some good moments in pass pro, which I kind of noticed, Mike. But like,
he's gotten better there.
Yes.
He was not – that was an area when I talked to him and I brought it up, he was like, I'm working on it.
But that's something I was kind of surprised was the low usage – rate for someone like Caleb Jackson.
I thought they would use him more too, Charlie. I'll be honest with you. And let's see how it rolls with that. And I'm always a big advocate of, man, if you got the hot hand, you keep rolling him the ball. But, man, that loss, you can pin a lot of that offensive line play for all the talent up front. Man, when you wasn't moving nobody.
You needed to run the ball late in that game, and you weren't able to do it. The 3-and-out was the one that was the most indictable, in my opinion, Mike. When you had the ball back, your defense got that huge stop, you get the ball back kind of deep in your own territory, you have a chance to go maybe on an extended 5 to 6 minute drive, bleed a lot of clock, and they just couldn't run the ball. They go 3-and-out, and then they give it right back to USC. So
your defense isn't good enough to get these stops and then put them right back on the field time after time. That's not going to work.
They gave you the stop. It was up to your offense to close out that game, and they just didn't.
They didn't do it. And so I hear a lot of stuff about, the defense played so bad. No, they didn't play good the last two times USC had the ball. But overall, if you'd have told me USC scores 27 points, I'd say that's a W for LSU.
Heading into that game, Lincoln Riley's teams in his career dating back to 2017, Mike, I did the numbers on this, averaged 43 points per game. LSU's defense with Blake Baker held him to 27. Like you mentioned, you should win that game if you have that offense for LSU.
Yeah, well, I saw it 10-10, watching it 10-10 at half, I was like, hey, pinch me. I can't believe
it. Yeah, the low-scoring defensive slugfest we all expected.
Somebody pinch me about this.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.